Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to What Culture Gaming. I am Ash Millman, joined today by Josh Brown. So, hello, Josh.
Hello, Josh.
And we are here to deliver you a lovely horror gaming podcast. Now, we've been doing loads more podcasts at the moment, and we're going to release lots more podcasts. We're trying to get more of a schedule going with lots of different shows. So, we thought, why not set up a weekly horror one where we can talk about all of the horrible, spooky things going on in the industry. And it doesn't have a name yet, so that is up to you guys if you have any exciting names you want to give us. But at the moment, it is just scary games for people who like them. So enjoy that.
I like it. Rolls off the tongue, brandable, very good. $1 million idea.
I think so, personally. I think it's a great little title. So that's what we're sticking with for the moment. So welcome to Scary Games for people that like them. And today we're going to be focusing in on Dead Space. Now, if you've been on Twitter recently, then you'll know the PlayStation 5 is launching. And also if you've looked anywhere else. But I say Twitter because the writer of Dead Space, Anthony Johnston, has posted a tweet that has since been deleted, alluding to some secret game coming out that is going to be linked to the PlayStation 5. Now, I say Dead Space because that is what everyone wants it to be, whether that is maybe a sequel, which I know Josh hates the idea of, does not want it to be, does not think it will be Dead Space 4, or a remaster, which there's lots more clues leading up to it. But yeah, Josh, what do you think about Dead Space coming back at all in general, in any form, any necromorph form?
Well, look, Ash, the thing is, it's not that I don't want a Dead Space 4. I very much want a Dead Space 4. I don't want to get my hopes up for it, you know what I mean? Obviously, EA didn't treat that franchise well at all, pretty much immediately after the first game, and then they shut down Visceral Games, who were responsible for all of the titles, and now a lot of those talented people have kind of been dispersed to other studios, and I don't feel like EA is ever going to bring it back in a proper way, even though I would love for them to do it and go back to the franchise's, you know, survival horror roots. They had the team, the original team, had so many great ideas of where this franchise could go and how it could evolve and spooky things it could bring to the table that they just never got to do. And that is going to be an eternal shame. But like, if I'm going to have anything Dead Space related, just give me the remasters. Give me the remasters of 1, 2, even 3, because 3 is okay in parts. But yeah, like a full remaster of Dead Space 1, especially. I'm so excited I just spat all over myself there. That's definitely good on camera. Would be something I'd absolutely want for the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox or whatever it comes out on. And it seems like EA itself is kind of opening itself up to remasters more. We've got rumors that Mass Effect is going to get its trilogy remastered at the end of the year. They did Burnout Paradise. So for me, the next natural step is Dead Space because there is such a cult fan base for that property.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that because obviously this writer, Anthony Johnston, has posted it and everyone has gone, Dead Space, instantly. Like, well, I think his another game title he has linked to it is Shadow of Mordor, maybe? Is that the one other title it could be? Because his tweet was, as some of you know, I've been working on a big video game for almost 2 years now. In totally unrelated news, you should all watch the PS5 launch event on Thursday. And in a follow-up tweet, which both have since been deleted, so you know, that means they're especially true, it says, hint, you play a character having a really bad time. Now, that sounds like Isaac Clarke, to be fair.
It does. It really
does.
It
absolutely
does. But Ash, that's another question. Would you bring Isaac Clarke back? You know what I mean? If you were going to make your imaginary Dead Space 4, do you bring Isaac Clarke back? Because he's been through a lot of crap. You know what I mean?
He has been through a lot. He has. Yeah. I think he's had his fair share of necromorph insanity, to be honest. But, this is a really interesting question because I have a big interview from Eurogamer with Ben Winnat, who is the creative director of Dead Space. Please forgive me if I have pronounced that incorrectly. But Ben Winnat has said that if they were to make another Dead Space 4, their idealized version of Dead Space 4 would have had Ellie as the protagonist, or he'd have really liked Ellie as the protagonist, which could be an interesting diversion to let poor Isaac off the hook, really. But yeah, I think I'd be more than happy with Isaac coming back again because he is so synonymous with the Dead Space franchise. All the stuff he's been through, all of the weird hallucinations he's had, everything kind of ties back to him and his experience of it. And I think whilst if they did make a sequel, taking it in a new direction with a new lead would be a good way of doing that. Like we spoke about Witcher, having Ciri as the lead instead in the next one, that sort of thing, when it kind of becomes impossible to keep on pushing this character that's been at the forefront so much to its like natural end. I feel like Ellie would be a good choice, but I would really like Isaac Hart to come back. I'm just rambling here. Isaac Hart.
I like
would be
it.
Good.
No, I'm enjoying the energy. It's manic and good, and I like where it's going. But to continue with it, I think that they can have their cake and eat it too. You can have Isaac Clarke coming back, but he doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the playable character. I feel like it would be really interesting to get a perspective on this man that isn't you being inside, you know, his head. Because we've seen so much about his fractured psyche. We've played him for 3 games now. So to get kind of an outsider's view of that, we kind of got it in a way with Dead Space 3, and I think it was Carver, the co-op character, but not in a substantial kind of way. So to play a game from Ellie's perspective, maybe have kind of, you know, Isaac around. Maybe Isaac kind of is this manifestation, like, that's actually haunting her in the same way Nicole did to Isaac in the, you know, original games. That might be an interesting idea, because I think right now, when it comes to sequels or reboots or whatever, we're in an era where these iconic characters can return in a supporting role. In some ways, you see them kind of excel in that role more than they did in the protagonist role. I've said role a lot there. I'm going to stop saying that for now. What comes to mind is Gears of War 5 and 4 with Marcus Fenix. Obviously, you played as him in the first 3 games, and you got to know him, you got to like him, but for me, he was elevated so much when he became this kind of supporting character, when you got to see him through the eyes of his son and other characters, and it really kind of, it just allowed the writers to go in and investigate a different side to him that you don't get when you're playing as someone, because when you're playing as someone, even in the most kind of narrative-driven games, you still kind of have to make that character a cipher for the player, or at least an avatar for the player to kind of, you know, have their own authorship over, even if it's just in the small things they do in combat or whatever. And I think by perhaps eliminating that with a Dead Space 4 or anything, would allow us to see Isaac in a way that we've never seen him before. That's a marketing slogan. You can put that on the back of the box.
Absolutely. No, I think you're definitely right in having Ellie in a role and allowing Isaac to be the supporting part of that would be a much more interesting dynamic. But I just like him. I just like him. I'd like him to stick around. I think at the end of Dead Space 3, it might be a post-credit scene or some sort of very like ancient whisper where it's like Isaac sending out a message to Ellie, or you can hear him talk again, whether that's going to be a hallucination. Like you could say you could have Ellie having hallucinations of Isaac, but then it turns out he's really alive and it hasn't been a hallucination at all. Whoa. That'd be a good way of doing it. Bringing him back, having him there nicely to be killed off probably at the end, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny you mentioned like the end of Dead Space 3, because that ended in such a kind of moment of despair, you know what I mean? Like the markers and stuff had more or less like taken over like the Earth, more or less. You know, you go back to this planet that's more or less been decimated. And I think in that Eurogamer article, or it might have been another Eurogamer article, Eurogamer have done a lot of great articles on this franchise about where it could have gone. But I think the next game, like you said, with Ellie was going to more or less be almost post-apocalyptic, but across a whole galaxy. You know what I mean? You're going from these space stations to space stations that have been completely overrun, with the Necromorph threat getting to such a peak level where it's not just kind of like you fighting back against a kind of like a threat anymore. It's you literally being overwhelmed by this evil force that's in the process of eliminating all life and taking over and assimilating everything, which is kind of a thing that the franchise always hinted at but never quite got to that level.
Yeah, I think they hinted at the Dead Space 4 being about the apocalypse. And the big quote about the different like scavenging things they would have brought into it was the ships you would visit are where the game would get really diverse in Dead Space 3. And then the Ishimura had some inkling of that diversity with the variously themed decks. But imagine an entire roster. I'm stumbling through this, man. But imagine an entire roster of ship types, each with unique purposes, floor plans, and gameplay. Our original prototypes, the Dead Space 3 flotilla, had some pretty wild setups that I wish we'd been able to use. So seeing these like different environments and different scavenging options and going through all these different places that kind of tell a story through discovery rather than it having laid out quite linearly for you. I think, again, it leans back into the Ellie and not having Isaac as his central figure, but having a character that's surviving a marker apocalypse full of necromorphs and necromorph moons and all sorts, and kind of learning what's happened and what's going to happen and how they can kind of save their skin by going through all these different ships. It sounds like a really interesting idea, and if they were going to make a Dead Space 4, it is definitely what I'd like to see from it, and it feels like a natural progression for the series. Yeah. But again, I agree, the remaster is probably the best option, as much as Dead Space 4 would be nice.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's sort of the thing that's kind of, it's like a double-edged sword, isn't it? We're talking about this potential Dead Space 4, but the reality is the people who like came up with those ideas, like I said at the beginning, they're all scattered around different studios. That wouldn't be the version that we were going to get. But it is such, it's such a shame, because that concept, like you said there, it's like so rich and so kind of unique. But also it allows, and Dead Space has always played like no other survival horror game, really. I mean, yes, you've got the over-the-shoulder camera, you've got creeping through corridors, but you've also got those like mad zero-G fights. You've got the times where you're in Dead Space 3, you're like flying through kind of like this was going to be through the different space stations, you're kind of exploring them, discovering them and stuff. And that's not something you get in the likes of Resident Evil or Silent Hill or anything like that. So for me, those unique mechanics are also something that are kind of getting wasted, that could have been doubled down on in a follow-up, and in a way that would separate this from other survival horror games. Because even though it does obviously share the DNA and push the genre forward, it's so different and unique in so many kind of mechanical and systemic ways that, look, every time we talk about Dead Space, I just get sad that there's no more Dead Space.
Yeah.
And I just want more, Ash. I want more.
No, it coming in any form would be amazing. And we're absolutely clutching at straws of this tweet going, please give us this. Please, because it's what we want to hear. Like, Dead Space was one of the like founding terrifying moments of gaming that I had growing up. I've told stories on the channel before about like playing it with.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
My dad not being able to actually play it myself because I was just too scared to hold the controller and him having to play and me just screaming and running around like, ah, because it's just such a good visceral game. And like you say, it's so different to so many other survival horrors out there and takes that pure sci-fi thread and pumps it to its max output. And it's just Event Horizon on screen yes. again, but you're actually inside it, which is the best concept for a game ever. So yeah, more of it would be fantastic. I think if there were a remaster, if we move on to that bit. Now, this is more likely, I say, as we've had the EA CEO, Andrew Wilson, say that there may be some other remasters we do along the Command & Conquer line that we just haven't announced yet. Obviously, that's because we've had the new Command & Conquer game that has come out or has been remastered. So there's option, but they have said that there's options for other remasters to come through as well, which is what they think is going to be Mass Effect or Dead Space. We're obviously leaning towards the latter as much as a Mass Effect remake would be amazing. But is there anything you think that they need to like readdress with this franchise that you want to see fixed in a remaster?
Well, the kind of, even the first two, I think, are more or less perfect. They're all more or less, in my eyes, the Alien and Aliens of, you know, the gaming world. You have the first one, which is kind of more, sees you more isolated, sees you more underpowered. And the second one is way more action-packed and way more set-piece heavy. And yet it doesn't lose anything for me. I think even though the action focus is much more pronounced in the second, like, the gameplay is so tight, scares are so well-scripted, the environments you're exploring are so hauntingly, you know, beautiful and lush and well put together and believably put together that it's still very much a survival horror game despite the kind of faster pace and stuff. So I don't think there's much you have to really tweak with them because, like I said, in a lot of ways, they're kind of ahead of their time. Even the way they use HUD elements, you know, they have your health actually on Isaac's back. They make it as immersive as possible. So for me, is if they do the kind of, not even the Resident Evil route, but make it a substantial graphical upgrade. I would like mm-hmm. to see that, even though I would take them in any form. I would like to see them properly double down on kind of like, you know, the lighting, make these areas and these space stations as spooky as possible. But ultimately, I think the foundations are so strong that they can, you know, more or less keep everything the same without having to substantially go under the hood and tweak it. And I do think, you know, you mentioned the quote from Andrew Wilson there. I think it's a no-brainer for them to bring Dead Space back alongside Mass Effect because EA haven't had a very good, you know, decade in terms of like fan reception and stuff. The games they've been putting out have been kind of divisive. We look at Star Wars Battlefront 2 and, you know, Battlefield 5 and games like that. They haven't resonated with fans as much as they might have. And I think if you bring back something that might not be incredibly mainstream and won't sell 10 millions of copies, but something that people have a lot of love for, like me and you do for Dead Space, it's such an easy win. It's like an open goal. It's like if they made Knights of the Old Republic 3, you know what I mean? It's like something yeah. that would instantly get people on their side and say, you know what, okay, give me more of this stuff. Maybe you're on the right track and maybe you're listening to what people want.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good way of getting some goodwill back from all of their stuff. Absolutely. If you go, here's Dead Space, everyone will go, oh, that's fine. Thanks, EA. Great company. All wonderful. All sins forgiven. But no, I think bringing it back is the smartest option and the most logical one from what we've seen of the little clues that have been dropped. Now, the question here, for the remaster as well, I think the one thing, just to go back to that, I'm all over the place. Just to go back to that, for me, it would be the co-op to be changed because I just either make it split screen or don't have it at all, because if it's going to be a tight horror experience and you're having someone drop into your game, I think have it as a local co-op. I know that was kind of messed with, the ideas for co-op were kind of messed with, and it got very shoehorned in as something that was thought that needed to be in the game to kind of expand it to a wider audience. But if there's going to be co-op in it, I think have it true couch co-op multiplayer, so you're playing with someone in the same space and can be scared together rather than, oh, it's that guy from the internet who's just running around, like, doing the shooting. But yeah, that would be it. But yes, if it is going to be a remaster, if it is going to be anything to do with Dead Space, if it is going to be Dead Space 4, if it's any of these things relating back to Dead Space, do you think it's going to be announced at the PlayStation 5 launch event? Because obviously EA have their own event on the 18th of June. So if it was that sort of level of great game and goodwill and things that they want to bring fans back over to their side with, you'd think they'd save it for their own event. So Anthony Johnston's comments, what could this mean?
Yeah, I think those comments are kind of separate. And I do agree. I think if we do kind of like hear about this year, I think it'll be an EA's own EA player or something like that. Or maybe even later, it might not be a launch game. It might be something we get afterwards. Because, you know, it sounds like they've got a couple of projects, a couple of remaster projects that they're juggling. I think we'll see Mass Effect first, because I think that's the kind of like trilogy that will not only get those fan points back, but will probably sell a bit better as well. You know, Mass Effect has that bit of a wider appeal. And then if that does well, that could pave the way for the likes of Dead Space to come out a few months afterwards or a year afterwards or something like that. I think in terms of the PlayStation 5 reveal, Scott, we just did that predictions video with Scott. And Scott has this mad idea that Anthony Johnson might be working on Silent Hill. Now, I don't buy that for a second, but I am fascinated to see what is going to come from, you know, this writer, because it very much sounds like a horror experience. Like you said, it's someone going through the ringer. And I think if Sony get any kind of survival horror titles, whether it's Resident Evil 8 or Silent Hill or something brand new, you know, like a brand new IP that we haven't seen, we've heard rumors that Hideo Kojima is working on a horror game. I just want to see these big first-party backed horror games kind of like come back to the fore, because I feel like we had such a resurgence of the genre back at the start of the decade, and then we saw it wane a little bit, and now currently I'm not entirely sure where I stand in it. We've got the likes of Resident Evil 2, we've got Resident Evil 3, but I feel like, you know, it doesn't quite have the same kick up the arse that it had maybe 5 years ago or something.
Yeah, big first party games. I can definitely get behind that, but I think if a Silent Hill remaster remake comes out, any of these old games getting shined up to the level of Resident Evil's new remakes just fills me with such joy. When you know you're getting a good product and you know you're getting it new and shiny and done better and the whole experience is kind of reborn for you again, I do very much want those things and want people to be able to enjoy them for the first time again, because they are quite old now. Like, they're not like too old to play, but the age is showing.
Don't even talk to me about this, Ash. This is the thing I always forget, right? It's been, what, 12 years since the original Dead Space came out. There will be people now who have never played Dead Space who won't even have the consoles available to play Dead Space. I'm not sure whether the original is on Games Pass. I want to say it's not. I don't think it is yet. But, like, you know what I mean? Like you said, the thing about video game preservation or whatever is that it's so poor that if you don't own a specific console, you might not be able to play some of the best games ever made. And we are getting better. We've got PlayStation Now, we've got Games Pass, like I said, but there's still a long ways to go. And the sad kind of fact is that at the moment, remasters and remakes are the most accessible way for people to play these old games. I wouldn't have been able to play a lot of titles if not for remasters and remakes. I mean, I wouldn't have got around to The Last of Us, the original Last of Us, for a long time if that wasn't re-released on the PlayStation 4 near the start of its life. So yeah, I do think it, like you said there, yeah, it is a kind of a great way to introduce not only a new audience to, you know, Dead Space that could potentially pave the way for more Dead Spaces in the future, but also give us that nostalgic hit that we want when we think about these games and we see them done up again with these, you know, cutting edge graphics engines and these absolutely stunning visuals.
I think what this all boils down to is that just please give us Dead Space again. There's so many vocal people, like even like researching this podcast, having a look around on the internet, being like, oh, what's going on with Dead Space? Anything else? Like the first page had change.org petitions on it for like bring back Dead Space, do remasters of Dead Space, which shows how many people are out there asking for it to come back. So it would be so, so nice to see it in any of its forms, and also to see it at the PS5 launch event, because it is going to be so big and so exciting and so people are going to tune in. And I think it would help EA capitalize on that kind of audience as well. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with it or how it's going to work best for them. I just hope that this rumor is true, because it would just be nice. Is the whole crux of this. It would just be nice. But yeah, is there anything else you want to say about Dead Space, Josh, besides it's great and we want to see it?
It's great and we want to see it. I think that's probably the be-all and end-all. Yeah, even if it doesn't happen, I think the beauty of this chat, Ash, is I'm going to track it down. If it's not revealed tonight, if there's no more rumors for a long time, I'm going to have to go back and play Dead Space 1 because I haven't played it since 2008. And I want to see if it holds up as well as I've imagined it does in my head. I've played number 2 and I played 3, funnily enough, more than I played Dead Space 1. But that is a game that I think, you know, more people should check out if you haven't played it. And it's something that I want to revisit to see if it does indeed hold up as much as we think it does.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, like I say, the conversation itself at least makes everyone aware of what big audience there is for Dead Space. So even if this isn't what's going to happen and what we see with the launch events, with EA's event, maybe they'll think, oh, well, there's a lot of people out there who've said this is what they hoped it would be. Now we can capitalize on that. So maybe it was all just a big ruse for them to like gauge interest. Here you go. Here is the interest. But yeah, I'm gonna wrap up this pod now. So thank you for watching. What do you think about Dead Space? Do you think it's going to come back? Do you think it's going to be Dead Space 4 or a remaster? Let us know in the comments or on Twitter, where you can find me at Ash Millman and Josh at
Josh Brune with 2 O's.
We want to know all your Dead Space thoughts and Dead Space excitement. So yeah, let us know what you think about this whole Dead Space potential. I've said those words too many times and they don't sound real anymore. And we'll see you again next week for more scary games for people that like them. And if you also have a name you want to suggest for scary games for people that like them, then please also send that in because it does need a title. But yeah, more horror content coming, more podcasts coming. Thank you for joining. Now we are going to go. Please come back again soon and enjoy more What Culture Gaming content. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.